Hey, Carm Capriato here. Great news. Dutch Silverstein is offering two ATIS scholarships out of his very own pocket, paying it forward to the aftermarket community. This means two people from the same shop, an owner and his tech, can attend. Find out more in this episode on how to apply for this $4,000 scholarship. Keep in mind, this is a time-bound offer.
Because there's always an angle, right? What's his angle? What's he trying to accomplish? What, you know, I give him my email. What's he going to do? You know, am I going to get spammed? Am I going to get some offer for some land in Arizona? What's his angle? Okay, so you got a certain percentage of the population that's going to have that. The rest of it is people just don't care.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriato, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Hold on to your earbuds as Dutch Silverstein and I spice the podcast airwaves with some very frank talk. Dutch is a little upset. He's offered up two scholarships with a total cost of $4,000 to any tech and shop owner in the industry, and he's gotten very little response. There are many reasons that he's doing this, he explains in the interview. However, he's paying honor to his deceased mom and aunt, who were teachers. Dutch believes in the power of training and of being a perpetual student, and I dig that. Training is in his wheelhouse, and he hopes that this scholarship will prompt more shop owners to do more like this. Hey, Remarkable Results Radio is so proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2020 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020, where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. Mark your calendar right now. Plan to be there. Enrollment has begun. Contact your Napa store to find out more. And I'll see you in Las Vegas at Napa Expo 2020. Dutch Silverstein is the owner of A&M Auto Service in Pineville, North Carolina. And yes, he's offering a $4,000 scholarship for ADAS training. This is time sensitive, so you may hear this podcast and the time may have already passed. The deadline to mail Dutch is August 5th, 2019. Find his email at remarkableresults.biz/E453 in the show notes. The views and opinions expressed are those of my guest and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the author, sponsors, associates, or affiliates of LSTN Media, LLC. Hey, if you aren't listening mobile, then you need to subscribe to a free podcast listening app and then subscribe to this podcast. Basically, Dutch wants to know why the members of the social media boards he's a member of, and he says that's about 8,000 service professionals. He wants to know why he's only gotten 24 applications for the $4,000 worth of ATIS training. He's not happy about that. And I feel his pain, and I think he's got a point. And I believe we as an industry need to keep a lookout for this level of philanthropy and to step up and get involved ourselves. This and more tough talk starts right now. Hey, a warm welcome to Dutch Silverstein from A&M Auto Service, Pineville, North Carolina. Hi, Dutch.
Hey, how are you, Carm? Good morning.
Hey, I'm great, man. Good to have you back. You were with me in December 17 in episode 286, and you also did a Town Hall Academy, number 50, on finding the right business coach. That was great. Appreciate your support.
I appreciate what you do for the industry.
Thank you, man. You're pissed off, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
And we're here to talk about that. I want to encourage our audience to stick around because Dutch is about ready to get something big off his chest, and it affects every one of you out there. What Dutch did so kindly was to offer a scholarship of $4,000 to anyone in the industry. Yeah, I'm sure you had to, you know, you wanted to hear somebody give a good reason why they would want to go to a fully paid ADAS calibration meeting. And it was so generous of you. And it was in honor of your mom and your aunt, right?
Yeah, both my mother and my aunt were teachers for decades. And they believed in education as I do. So in order to honor their memory, my aunt recently passed. My mother died last year in November on a Marine Corps birthday, which kind of was a double hard hit for me.
My sympathies to you, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And just to be clear, this scholarship, the ADAS scholarship, is not the only scholarship that I've offered. I've offered a number of scholarships, typically ranging, instead of taking, like, for example, Seth Thorson does a great job, a really great job in promoting the industry, and he donated $25,000, tremendous amount of money, right? David Friend, who is the instructor out of Wilmington for the ADAS, he has done the same. He has not donated that much money, but he has worked with me on this ADAS scholarship. But instead, what I've done is I've allotted that $25,000, because Seth and I are having a real friendly competition, to better the industry. And I'm going to do it one or two techs or one or two owners at a time to make sure that people do what they're supposed to do.
Well, let's keep in mind, Dutch, and I interviewed Seth when he did that. It's a $25,000 endowment, and I think what that actually does is it sits there, grows some interest, and they probably give some of the interest away each and every year, some of the principal. But you know what? What a fabulous, fabulous thing for a shop owner to do is to get involved with their local community college. And in your case, you're saying, listen, ADAS is here. Wake up. It's time to train. And in your particular scholarship, it's focused on just ADAS training, right?
You're exactly right. It's not going away. It's technology that's been around in one form or another, beginning with rear view cameras for quite a while. Shops are either going to be able to embrace the technology, repair the vehicles to the proper standards, or they're going to get left behind. And more people are going to find themselves out of work, which is exactly opposite of what I want to see happen.
So why are you pissed?
I'm pissed because there's a lot of talk about bettering the industry, and there's a lot of talk about what people are doing, and on various boards, people are posting their numbers. Hey, we had a great month this month, and look at we're doing this and that. Okay, I'm glad. I'm genuinely glad that people, shop owners, are studying and involving coaches and improving their business. Terrific. Give back. Don't be a selfish prick. All right? If you don't give back, you lose the opportunity, in my mind, to complain about not having techs. If you're not willing to invest in the people that keep your business running, then shut up. Don't post your numbers. I don't care. Take the money that you said you've had this great month, you've been with XYZ company, and you've doubled your sales, and you've done all that stuff. Don't post a picture of your boat. Your boat isn't going to help your business. Don't post a picture about the latest car that you bought, the Corvette that you've always wanted. Who cares? What's that going to do to feed your family? How's that going to really improve the industry? So people, there are a lot of all talk, but when it comes down to it, making the sacrifice of time or money, or in some cases both, they just drop the ball and they leave it to the other guy. It's the other guy's problem. Well, it's not the other guy's problem. It's your problem. Step up or shut up.
Your message is so strong. It's about reinvesting in your business and in your people.
That's exactly right. Look, if you want to have a business that's going to be around 5 years, 10 years, maybe one you can leave to your children, you have to be at the forefront of this technology. You have to be able to answer your customers when they say, hey, my rearview camera isn't working right. Can you guys do that? My lane change, I'm getting some, can you fit? Yes, absolutely, we can take care of that for you. I don't want to have to send them back to the dealer. The more you send your customer back to the dealer, you're starting to develop a habit. I don't want them doing that. I want them coming to me for the stuff that we can do better than the dealer can do it.
Okay, so you're pissed about the fact that people are posting the wrong stuff because they're complaining about not being able to find techs because they're not investing in that educational system, they're not putting up scholarships, they're not investing their time in being on an advisory panel, et cetera, et cetera. They're not speaking to the groups and engaging people to understand that if you can't get a job at Google, then get a job in the automotive because we are high tech. It's that kind of soapbox stuff that we need to do more of?
Absolutely right. We have to be able to tell the younger generation that are tech, right, proficient, who like tech, hey, we've got systems here for you. We can do things that will use your passion to help other people. And that's what you want to do. You want to help other people. And let's be candid. I built my business over the last 20-something years because I want to help people. I have to earn a living. Right, I have to provide a living for my staff, right, so that they can do the things in their life that they want to do. But unless an owner is willing to step up and say, I'm going to make this contribution, okay, unless a tech is willing to avail themselves of the training, then it goes nowhere. Here's the thing that's really ticked me off, right? So here it is. I've got $4,000 on the plate. That's two training for two people because these classes are $2,000 a piece, right? All right, so I advertised on this scholarship. It costs people nothing, under no obligation. Their emails aren't sold. Nothing happens. All they have to do is send me an email with their name, put scholarship in it, and who they want to send, and then I draw it out as a raffle, and I pay for it. It's covered. All they have to do is get to the facility in Wilmington, North Carolina. Great. On a three boards with a total of just about 8,000 members. You know how many applications I got? How many of those? The 25. A little less than 20. 24. Are you kidding me? You're going to complain about you can't find techs? All right, let's remove the owners from it. What the hell's the matter with the techs? You're going to tell me that you can't get to Wilmington? You can't beg, borrow, or steal the money? Right? If you're going to go on a fishing trip, if you're going to go to a ball game, if you're going to do something else, how's that going to put money in your pocket? How's that going to better your education? 25. Give me a freaking break. Quit whining to me.
It's a small number, and I bet you in the first few weeks there weren't many, and then I think you got up and you got mad, and you got probably got a few more, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the first initial rush.
You had to get mad, though, in order for you to get more.
Yeah, it's like I got to motivate people to get up off their ass to do what it is they should be doing to begin with, because the bigger picture is this stuff isn't going away, and you're either going to embrace it as a technician and as an owner and strive to make it your own, or you're going to be left behind sitting on a couch eating Cheetos wondering what the hell happened to your career.
You're so right in what you say that about being left behind, because let's go back to the graduate that's coming out of school. They don't come out of school with a whole lot of knowledge. They should come out of school. They should be taught, and our industry should embrace them in saying, you will always go to school now for all the rest of the years you have, and you should probably, all the years you have in this industry, and plan on spending 40 to 60 hours a year in some form of training. I'll pay. We'll get you there. I'll pay for your time away from work, but you will be a perpetual student. Now, come to today and think of the million techs we have out there in all areas of our industry. If they're not continuing to learn, we're stagnating. We're running into a brick wall. And your message is perfect. I'm not here to teach the kids. We're here to teach the established technicians all about ADAS, because you're seeing it and you're touching it every day.
That's exactly right. When you graduate one of these tech schools, I look at that as being you're getting a license to learn. All right? You have established a foundation. Okay. So you've worked on some cars, you've learned theory, you've learned systems operation, you've learned how to use the factory scan tools, but realistically, you don't know spit. Okay? You couldn't diagnose your way out of a paper bag, because I guarantee you, when I interview my techs and I give them a basic electrical test, it doesn't matter where they come from. Most fail. All right? And it's because they've had no real structure, or they don't understand it. Ohm's law? Are you kidding? Let's work on practical application of that. Well, what could this be? Right? You have to be a perpetual student. You have to be to acknowledge that learning, it's a stair step. You're always climbing those stairs to become the very best technician that you can be, which benefits your family and your employer. The guys like Tanner Brandt, Matt Skundrich, the guys that have made a name for themselves because they're the go-to guys, and there are a number of others, Dusty Harrison, a number of them, because they're the go-to guys that you ask about this kind of stuff. It's because they learn. They want to learn. They invest in the tools if their boss won't, which is, I guess, a topic for another discussion.
God, we got to talk about that. We really do, Dutch. And I know we can't do it right now because we've got so many other things to cover here yet. But, you know, the tool issue, especially with ADAS calibration and all of the OE subscriptions, that's becoming a big cost. But it's also a cost we have to accept. We have to absorb. It has to be part of how we do business. And we have to invest. The shop owner needs to invest. You can't expect your techs to do that.
No, you have to be able to provide them with the tools that they need to get the job done. If you're not willing to do that, then you are condemning yourself and your shop to a life of mediocrity. That's all there is to it. Now, there are a lot of business models where that is not necessary, all right? And if those people that want, you know, there is a popular tire franchise that all they do is they sell tires. They don't do anything else. And for them, doing anything else than that makes no sense. If that's their business model, that's cool. That's what they want. But for the independent shop owner who wants to compete with the dealership, who wants to offer better service, better trustworthiness, better value than the dealership does, he has to be able to do what the dealership does with two exceptions. Warranties, right? If you have a new car, you're not going to do that. And recalls, then you're going to have to send that to the dealers. Aside from that, that's it. That's all they should be doing. There's no reason not to invest in your, you don't need a freaking boat. You know, you need OE tools and you need aftermarket tools that can do the job for you.
Hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want, things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook-type calendar, so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click, and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your NAPA Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the auto care program has to offer. Now, I got a great business. I'm making a double-digit NOI. I've taught my people everything they could possibly teach on a yearly basis, commitment to school, to training. My equipment's up to date. My services are lean. I've got great systems, great processes. It's okay. I buy a boat.
Yeah, if you've done everything else.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and you want to enjoy the fruits of your labor, fine. If you're doing that, then God bless you. Buy a bigger house, buy two boats. Do whatever it is that you want to do because you've earned that right to do it. But you forfeit your right to complain when you don't make those sacrifices, when you don't have the systems, policies, and procedures in place, when you don't make the investment.
A business coach told me a great story a while back, and he says, I was sitting down with one of my clients, and we were discussing possibly me working for him and helping grow his business. And what he said to the client was, so how old are your kids? You know, the kid was 11. He says, well, when they're 18, they're going to go to college, right? I absolutely want my kids to go to college. Well, who's going to pay for it? And he said that set the shop owner back like 10 feet in his chair. He just leaned back and he said, oh boy. And I was recently talking to Kevin Eckler, and he said, yep, my first daughter's going to school. And he says, I'm writing the check for it. And I could tell that Kevin's priorities were right for the last so many years as he worked to turn his business around. And he's been on the show telling that story. And it's great to hear those kind of stories of the guys that said, hey, I did a lot of things wrong for a bunch of years, and then I turned myself around. And what you're really saying here is it's time to turn yourself around and to do things differently. And training is a huge touch, huge part of everything you need to do to make things work right in the shop.
It is. I mean, when you think about it, Carm, look at what I had to do. All right. And here I am. I'm a guy. I'm a single store operation. I have three full-time techs, service writers, me, and a bookkeeper that comes in twice a week. Right. I'm an average shop. I mean, I'm a seven-figure shop, but I'm not hitting $200,000 a month or any of that sort of stuff. I fit into what's called the average shop. And I made it a priority to spend four of us. That's $8,000 plus the rental car, plus hotels, plus half a day's worth of work of revenue to send my guys to this training. All right. I'm not independently wealthy. It's just necessary.
You prioritize where you're spending your money. I mean, I think that may be the key here is that he said, wow, how could Dutch do that? Well, he did it. And he did it because he's got a vision and a priority in his business that puts training way up there and puts the commitment to his. Think about the longevity of if you've got quality techs and you're investing in them, man, that means a lot to them.
Yeah, it does. And to me, for tech turnover, the guys retire out of here. You know, Bruce, my senior tech, he was with me for 10 years. He hit 65 and he retired out. Rich, my now lead tech, he's here for over 10 years, right? He's probably going to stay with me until I kill him or or until he retires out, okay? I mean, you know, I joke about it because we're like family and somebody's family's butt heads, but ultimately he's got a home here and he knows that his future is being assured as best as I can do it by investing in him and his knowledge. And it's the same thing with my other techs. I took a tech and relocated him and his family, Chris, from Kansas to get to me because he had the same values. Chad, my Euro tech, has been with me for over 5 years. I don't have that type of turnover. I mean, I go through people, you know, you have to sift through a lot to get to the ones that want to have you share your vision. But ultimately, I believe in training, in investing in my people.
I love it. Values. Did you everyone hear what he said? He had the same values. And you hired for that. And you figured, hey, we can train the rest.
Yeah, that's it. I wanted people that were integrity driven, who wanted to do the right thing by the customer, who weren't looking to generate upsells that may be marginal, let's put it that way, to speak kindly, because what they wanted to do was they looked at this car as being their mother's car, every single one. Would you recommend this if this was your mother's car? Would you recommend it if it was your wife's car? Is this something that's legitimately needed based on the customer's needs, wants, and desires? Not what you want, what they want. Because out of the customers, you're going to have one group that, for example, leases a vehicle, and another one that wants to drive a vehicle till the wheels fall off. Their needs for their maintenance and repair are going to be different. I want my guys to be attuned to that so that we can help the people that put a roof over our heads.
You know, an incredible standard that you just spoke about, my mother's car, is it's almost like if someone loses track, all you have to do, Dutch, is go over, point your finger at them and says, don't forget it's your mom's car. And it grounds people, brings them back to center.
Yeah, and we want our techs to meet the people. I want them to see who it is that's walking through the door. I want them to meet their kids. I want them to find out about the soccer game that they're going to, the summer camp. I want to establish that connection that binds that customer to that tech and that tech to the customer. That's what you want. Because then trust is a non-issue. Once you've established that bond, that's it. The recommendations that you make, the customer knows are in their best interest, depending on what it is they want to do with their car. And the tech feels good because what has he done? He's lived up to his obligation, not his responsibility. His obligation is a huge difference to take care of that car in the way that the people want.
But it's not an empty face. I mean, it's a real human being. And everybody has a story. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a things going on in their world and in their life. And once you put the human face to it, it's obviously helped you be such a successful business. Average, Dutch says, I'm just average.
I'm just average. I'm nothing special. I mean, really, you know, it comes down to it. You have different business models, and I focus on a relationship-based business model. And that relationship-based business model is the model that works best for me with the people that I've targeted so that they can toss me the keys in the morning and say, fix it. Or when you find out what's going on, can you give me a call? And then I don't DVI them. I don't send them. I call them. I want them to hear my voice. I want to answer questions that they have so that they know I'm their guy. A&M is their shop. They don't worry about it. They got a lot of other stuff to worry about in their life. Their car, I don't worry about it. I just bring it to Dutch. He takes care of it. That's what I want.
You said you spent, you know, all this money on just the training and the hotel and all the stuff to go to ADAS training. And you said it was, what, four of you guys that went?
Four.
So that was $8,000 just to start with, plus. And then you had mentioned possibly some lost revenue. Do you normally find the guys, you know, bust a little harder when they come back to help make that up?
Number one, they're appreciative, all right? Because they've seen, talk is cheap, Carm. You can tell the guys that we value you, you're a member of the team. You can give them all sorts of rah-rah motivational crap, right? I'm old school. And, you know, you can do all that. When as an owner, you reach into your pocket and they see on the flyer that it costs $2,000 and you know you're sending them and you're paying them. You're paying them. They're getting training pay while they're there and their hotel is being taken care of. And I take care of the meals at night. Okay, because in the training that we went to, they were breakfast and lunch was part of the cost. That's it. But I let me just to be clear, I want to make sure I misspoke earlier because I was thinking about all the training. In this particular training in Wilmington, the hotel was included.
It was included. Okay.
It was included. Okay. So I wondered, but
here
I did
nor,
have
here to, nor there, you were willing to make the investment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's, you have to.
Tell me them numbers, and they're big numbers just for one class. What do you think you spend all year? You know, here's a seven-figure average business. What do you think you spend on training?
I haven't added just the training cost. I can tell you that in tools and equipment this year, I'll spend over $100,000. Tools, equipment, and training. It's over $100,000.
The word is, and the trend is that I hear, and in fact, there's more and more people becoming ADAS calibration centers, and you've got to have a certain kind of environment in order to work on these, and you well know because you've been to the class. And in fact, I even went to a four-hour ADAS class, and you know, the last couple of years, I've had a chance to sit in on some things, very, very interesting, actually exciting opportunities, I believe. But do you see that every shop has to be an ADAS calibration center, or do you want to get a jump on this so that you can kind of be a regional draw?
I'm jumping on it first and then going around to, once the equipment arrives, going around to various body shops and saying, okay, this is what we can do so you don't have to send it to the dealer. We're using factory equipment so that, and starting off, for example, with Toyota, because Toyota is the most economical to get into initially. Targets, Techstream Light, the bay requirements that you had alluded to, you can start, and then you can test the water with that and see how your reception is. As you start to get more vehicles in, you can then branch out and you can go to different manufacturers to get to the point where you can do many of them. And that's the plan.
Will you have to modify your facility?
No, I have a 30 by 50 parts warehouse on the property. And the original dream was to set half of it up as my machine shop, which I'm going to be doing because that's where I like to play. And then the other half, because where the parts are, I'll be pulling some parts racks out, and that gives me the length and the width that I need, and the lighting is correct because it's level, et cetera, for me to do what I need to do.
So this, you believe, is going to be a trend where not everyone's going to invest, but there's going to be a go-to person in town until everyone gets trained and the prices come down. And the facilities. I mean, the key point here is that today the facility has to be right, as you said, lighting and level and width around the car to set up targets. Do you ever think that it's going to get easier and easier as time marches on to get a calibration? I mean, as far as not having to have the right lighting and the right width and length?
No, I don't think it's going to get easier. I think it's going to get harder. I think it's more, as the systems come out and they're more and more complex, the requirements are going to be even more stringent. You know, as we go to truly fully autonomous cars and systems get refined, then those requirements are going to become much more precise than they are right now. So even if a shop owner says, look, I'd love to be able to do that. It's not in the budget. I simply can't afford to do it. If you send your guys to training so they can recognize what it is that they're supposed to look for, then they can make an accurate assessment of what the vehicle needs, and then that can be subcontracted out to somebody else. But if you have a problem and the guys aren't trained and they don't know what to look for aside from, you know, I don't think that camera's right, but they have nothing, no experience, what are they going to do? You can be left holding the bag, right? There's no reason for that.
So let's go back to your offer. As you made it, you offered it in social media, you know, this $4,000 gift, you know, Dutch uncle. I love it. It's really a play on words. Yeah. Oh, my God.
More like Grandpa Dutch.
Grandpa Dutch. You know, here it was. Someone left me, you know, $4,000 in their will. All of a sudden, there it is. And all I had to do was to say, hey, this is why I wanted it. Do you think the reason that you had so few people reply, they just looked at this and said, ah, it's like a robocall. Where's this guy? Who is he? You know, I don't know him. Was it apathy in the industry? Was it they thought you were kind of crazy? But you're not. I mean, if anyone follows you, you see, as you said, traditional. You're a traditional kind of guy. You're a no-nonsense. I mean, listen to the things that you've been saying here for the last 20 minutes. Man, you're a straight shooter. You hold nothing back.
It's true. My filter sucks. I don't have the time to engage in or the skills. Let's be honest.
In nice talk. So, okay.
In diplomacy.
So why do you think you only got 25 after begging and begging? Why do you really think? I mean, forget about I bought the boat and everything. Does the industry need some really big hit upside the head?
Yes. The industry needs a kick in the ass. All right? Complaining is easy. Right. And to answer your point directly, yes, I think there were some people that were cynical or skeptical. Who is this guy? What's his angle? Because there's always an angle, right? What's his angle? What's he trying to accomplish? What, you know, I give him my email. What's he going to do? You know, am I going to get spammed? Am I going to get some offer for some land in Arizona? What's his angle? Okay. So you got a certain percentage of the population that's going to have that. The rest of it is people just don't care. It's apathy, Carm. Even if you think I may be full of crap. You know that when you're on social media, it says who mutual friends and may have a list of 2 or 6 or 30 or people that, okay, contact them. Is this guy for real? Is this crusty bastard really for real? Is this really what he wants? Contact the guy who's given the school. Contact David Friend. Ask him about me. Contact Justin Morgan. Contact any of the people that know me. Contact Lucas Underwood and ask them. Is this guy for real? Is this what he does? He doesn't really want anything out of it? No. I just want you to step up and do what's right.
I love the word step up. In fact, I've been playing around, Dutch, with an idea about stepping up. And here you just said it to me. And it just brings some legitimacy to an idea that I'm working on. So, okay, the industry needs an upside the head. And let's hope that this podcast gets out there and gets shared and some people listen to it. And maybe, just maybe, we can change a few worlds here.
I'm hoping that people see this. And if they want to get ticked at me, that's cool. That's fine. If getting ticked at me gets them motivated to show me and prove me wrong, great. See, haha, he said I wouldn't do it. I did it. Great. You want to stick your finger in my eye? Knock yourself out. If it makes them say, you know, maybe he's right. You know, I got a good business. I've got my net operating profit where I want to be. You know, yeah, maybe it's time for me to go do that. That's great. Okay? One or two at a time. I'm not trying to change the world all in one shot. It's a chain reaction. It starts small, incrementally, and can grow when you do this. Because you got in this business because you wanted to help people and you wanted to make money to be able to do it. Well, if there's a product or service that you can offer that is of legitimate value that you can show, why aren't you doing it? That's what you need to ask.
Hey, Dutch, thank you so much. Dutch Silverstein, A&M Auto Service, Pineville, North Carolina. Thanks for bringing your absolute perfect dose of passion and telling all of us that we need to step up. Appreciate you being here, man.
My pleasure. It's, you know, get with the program, people. These cars aren't going away.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.